should do a sort of a sound check here. This kind of sucks because I'm looking over here.
It should probably be recording if you want to do a sound check.
No, it is recording, Dick. See? Going. Right here.
Oh, why is it moving so slow?
Oh, because I zoomed out. So we're looking at a larger swath of time.
Oh, the swath.
The swath it is. See, yeah, so because now I got to, like, crane. Because we're doing the long distance across the thing recording here. I'm pretty sure I can just do it. It's recording. We're doing well.
Welcome to the show, Nate.
Let's do a show. All right. I'm Nate Voss.
Donovan Berry.
Well, kick ass. Here we are on the first Reflex Blue show in 7 years.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you miss one show.
But you know what you haven't missed? You haven't missed the deadline for the student design competition yet.
Holy crap, Donovan.
See,
that
was
we planned it on
like student schedules, which are full semesters in length.
Right, right.
Not like the real world deadline of hours.
When did we announce the student design competition? It was probably back in like August.
It was like
September.
7 years
it was when
ago,
Chip
yeah.
was here. It was when Chip was here, so it was September, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hey, we are still doing the student design competition.
You have about 3 weeks left, is that right?
If we get the show up today, then yeah, I think you have it should be 4 weeks because they're due on November 26th at 5 p.m.
That's like 3 weeks.
It's 20 days. It's essentially 21 days from now.
Yeah, that's 3 weeks.
That is in fact 3 weeks. How many days in a week?
Remember that math isn't required for design students, Nate.
Right.
Obviously
right. Well, that's why
making things look good.
I'm good at fractions. I'm fraction to decimal conversions, man. I can do them. I can do them like that.
Right.
So anyway, so you go to 36point.com.
You click on the right side. We got a category called Student Design Challenges.
Yeah, we don't have a mini right-hand side navigation. We do have a rotating header, and I think we're going to put up another like a reminder post about it today, so to make it easy to find. But if you're a student, if you're listening, student design competition is rad. We are not requiring you to do extra work. We are just requiring that you make the work that you're already doing for class more awesome.
That is right.
And if I didn't just say it, I've already forgotten the words coming out of my mouth, but it costs nothing to enter. We got three things.
You don't even have to be posted. You just email us a JPEG.
Yeah. 800 by 800 pixels. There's a couple other things that we want you to email us too, so we know that it's legit. Because you got the idea is here is that you work
now, you don't
these
need
things
to...
into projects for class.
Yeah, now you don't need to mail us your grade if you're embarrassed by it.
Yeah, if you get a really like ass grade on this project,
but I don't know that's you know what, that's not possible.
You know what I'm looking for? What I want to see more than anything else is a grade report that says, "Hey, this project was really good, Stan." But if you would have used more than two colors and not had this goofy bald guy, and why is there a giant number 36 in this? Like, your project would have been great, but you made it suck with all this random shit that you put in.
No, I don't think that's possible.
I want that grade report to come back. Like, just a giant question mark. Why? And F. And then you'll have to redo it. But sorry, Donovan's right. You're just, if you do... enter the competition, you're probably just going to wind up with an A, perhaps an A plus 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 plus, so on and so forth. So on the site, we've also introduced something else that's really exciting that we should talk about.
Yeah, there's some sort of comic up there.
Yes.
And this, like, Newton Lee, I mean, that dude looks like, I mean, he's like Brad Pitt. Obviously
yeah.
modeled off of that dude.
That guy is a really good-looking, in-shape web designer. Conrad Hauser Thompson. If anyone okay,
looks
here.
Like a, from what I read on the blog comments,
yeah.
looks like a woman from Minnesota. Is it?
Yeah. I think that was on the How blog. There was a comment that the character of Conrad is not a dude, when in fact very much a dude. Thank you.
Yeah. So whoever
left that comment knows ugly chicks. Is that rude to say? That if you think that is a dude, or that is not a dude, that the chicks you know are just not getting the job done?
What you're saying is women that look like Nate are not attractive.
Yes. If you're a woman and you look like me, if you're, quite honestly, if you're a man and you look like me, you're already handicapped. But if you're a woman and you look like me,
yes.
or either of us, I'm going to go ahead and say either
yeah,
of
I don't
us.
Make
you're
a
rocking
good,
the beard over there.
I don't make a good-looking woman.
If you're a woman that looks like Donovan Beery, you're well... God bless you, and I hope that you have a sweet disposition. So anyway, yeah, the webcomic, One Point Rule, is every Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning. For some reason, not updating the post. Like, I still have to manually go make everything active.
Yeah, it's not going to be a dead...
I'm putting that on your head, Mr. Programmer.
You know, it's not a dead timeline, but it's sometime on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, normally in the morning.
No, yeah, generally it's when I wake up and stumble across the hall to my computer and make the post go live. But yeah, it's a webcomic about two graphic designers, one of whom makes his living in the print world, one of whom who makes his living in the web world. Both of them kind of suck at their jobs.
And one of them rents space from the other guy.
Yeah, well, he rents a chair, actually. He rents a chair in the conference room. It's a pretty sweet deal. He just sets up his iMac and goes to town in there. A lot of the comic is based off of things that have actually happened to us, though not all of them. There are more. There's so far has been at least a handful of true story comic strips.
It really is. It really is for designers.
No, totally is. Totally. It's a pretty defined audience too. One of the comments I've been getting quite regularly from people I ask about it is, you know, dude, graphic designers as an audience is not super huge, but even like graphic designers who read web comics is like, that's really narrow. But and what I was going to say,
well,
my
we'll
retort
see where
to
it
that
goes.
Was, well, yeah, it's narrow, but we're the only ones doing we're actually not. There's at least one other that I know of. And that one made me laugh. But we've been thinking about when we started doing 36 Point coming up on a year ago. A year ago, we were certainly in the planning stages.
No, it's like 9 months, dude. We got...
No, but a year ago, we were sitting in this office saying, dude, right, we should totally do our own site. Oh, my God. The idea was never to do just the podcast. We always wanted to do other things. And the thing that I've wanted to do since the beginning was this webcomic. And there was an incident depicted in the very first inaugural comment that comic rather than comment that sort of was like, wow, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. That would make a great comic. And so I finally got off the duff and decided I would make this happen. The response so far has been pretty cool. People seem to be into it. So if you listen to the podcast, but you don't go to 36 Point, go to 36 Point and check out One Point Rule. It's every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and that's what we do.
And even if you check it once a week, you can flip through three comics.
Yeah,
whatever.
Boy, I'll tell you what, our main man, Donovan Beery, programmed some pretty wicked awesome navigation at the bottom of those comics. You can leave comments. You can say, hey, dude, your art sucks. Or say, hey, you should make a joke about making the logo bigger, which
you know,
I'm never going to do.
The interesting thing I found that is on the webcomics, and I don't read a lot of webcomics, is that you notice that people post, you post a little bit of a story with the comic, or like you read a Sunday paper and you only see the comic.
Yeah.
It's kind of a whole, like, you get the inside story.
Get a little bit more comic. Because, well, in the way we have to do, there's a blog post essentially for every comic, and so it's like, well, it's going to be there. May as well write something. And like, okay. Put a little something in there. Sometimes it's going to be a longer story. Sometimes it's not.
All right. Well, enough of that. There's two big news stories we got to cover.
Yes.
So we've got CS4.
Yes.
And Pepsi has rebranded the famous Mountain Dew.
Oh, they also, yes, Mountain Dew was a part of that.
Yeah, who cares about the Pepsi part?
I think we have to talk about the Pepsi part a little bit. But let's talk about Adobe first, because this was... this is such a dated news story by now.
Well,
like,
not,
the
not
world's
really.
Moved on, I think, quite honestly. I think they're,
no, we,
they're
we
on
talked,
CS5.
We talked about the Illustrator portion of it with Vaughn.
Yes, episode 19, Vaughn Glitschka, the inventor of Adobe CS4 Illustrator.
Well, yeah, we're going to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's dated, because the software is not like video games where the day it comes out, everyone's in line for it.
Right.
I just got my...
We can talk about the reasons for that.
I ordered my... because I ordered my copy of CS4 yesterday.
Okay. And
I had to mail it to me, so I'm going to get it probably next week.
Right. It's not here, but it's on the way.
Yeah. And so I don't know anything about it yet. But,
I ordered my copy in the future.
Okay.
And in the future, Nate is waiting for his copy to arrive.
So what's what? Why did I order this copy? I mean, I ordered it because I felt I have to. Because it's it's the new Adobe. I have to order it.
Yeah, hang on. I've actually got like press release stuff. We can cover the more news items. If you're okay, CS4 is out, and pretty much everyone knows that.
No. I got the upgrade version because I had the suite before, and it's the design suite. And I'm an AIGA member, so I got 15% off.
I thought it was 20% off for AIGA members.
No, it's 15% off.
Okay, so if you're an AIGA member, you want to get CS4 or any Adobe product, you get a discount, so make sure you... Yeah.
But even then, I spent
make sure you're on the ball for that.
I spent over $500.
Walk us through the how to get that discount process.
Oh, so you go into like AIGA.org/AIGA members only.
Okay.
Then they'll say like, hey, there's members a big thing only. That says, yeah.
Do you get a jacket?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you're there.
But I get 15% off, so I don't care.
Right. With which you could buy a members only jacket.
You could probably get one of those for $20.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting one. Anyway, so you're on the AIGA site.
So you go to their little page that they have just for members.
Yep.
You click on the 15% off Adobe, and then you log in with your AIGA membership or whatever. And then they link you to the Adobe store, and then everything is just all of a sudden 15% less.
Yeah, that's pretty rad. That's pretty, honestly, it is. Now, things that are not totally rad. Okay, number one, I think that the biggest improvement in this software is that the text on the dashboard icons has gone from white to black. Not the dashboard, but rather the dock, I should
okay.
say.
I paid $500 to see something reverse out.
Yeah, more or less. I think that might be true. I'm going to real quick go through these. You can get these in several flavors. You can, of course, buy individual programs one at a time, which that's how I bought Dreamweaver last year, and I'm not... Actually, you know what? I'm going to look into the upgrade for Dreamweaver as a solo product. I haven't actually looked at that yet. For my, like, actual business that, you know, we turns out Donovan and I have jobs outside of doing this show. But you can get your design premium, design standard, web premium, web standard, production premium, and the master collection.
I just want
have
the design.
Have you seen that damn thing, the master collection? It has, like, I don't know, 26 odd programs to it. It's completely ridiculous.
No, I just went with the design premium because it had the five programs I use, which is Flash, Dreamweaver, Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign.
And if I can save some coin, because
no
I won't be able to upgrade.
Still no freehand.
Yeah. Damn it. But apparently Illustrator is closer to freehand now. So thanks for Adobe to waking up to making that a reality.
Oh, because it's multiple pages, right?
Yeah, multiple page layouts. Let's see, yeah. Oh, also, there's a new Flash player out, so download that so your websites will run awesome. What I'm going to be looking into is, if I can save a little coin, I would get the design standard, because I don't do Flash, and I'm not going to do Flash. But I would get the standard, like InDesign, Photoshop, Illustrator, and then upgrade my Dreamweaver, which is the only, like, current, everything else I have is CS2, and it's a non-upgradable thing, and so I got to buy that flat out. Yay for that. Here's what I'm going to throw out there to you, and I think that this is the larger conversation about Adobe softwares. Is it really valid to update 5 or 6 features per program and then iterate out a new version that to some customers is going to amount to, you know, a couple grand, depending on how many licenses you're buying? You're talking 10 to you know, 30 Gs.
Well, I think that's why a lot of people kind of sometimes skip an upgrade, but...
Right. Well, and apparently Adobe's got something in there. If you have CS3, if you are current on CS3 and then you upgrade, I think you get even an additional discount. There's something like that to reward...
Well, that's the cheapest upgrade. The cheapest upgrade possible is from the...
Is from CS3, I think. But you can still upgrade from CS2, but you get less of a discount.
You can upgrade from just a standard version of Photoshop and get less of a discount.
Right. So that's there. And there are features like... The Photoshop thing that I think is the coolest is the proportionate... Or it's not proportionate. It's a... I don't know, the sort of live scaling thing where you can, like, resize... an image disproportionately, and it will only scale the bits where there's, like, not people. Like, if it's, yeah, it'll scale.
Well, I think you forget that a lot of these
stuff
features you may
like
not
that.
Think you'll use, but you want to stay up somewhat updated on your software, because we worked on that ad. Sometimes we work on projects together, you know, even though
we've done that.
We worked on that ad that we had to give off to another designer who was making all the different versions of the ad, and we had to export it down because he was 7 full versions back on Illustrator.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Illustrator 5.5.
Yeah. 5.5.
Talking to this guy on
this
the phone.
This is a dude that we had to deal with. This is a true story. This is Donovan and I saying, yes, we do have real jobs, and this is the kind of stuff. The true story is
when you're 7 full versions back, which means you haven't updated your software in 12 years.
Yeah.
And also
your system, because that junk wouldn't work.
Now all of a sudden making an upgrade is a huge deal, because it's not like where there's been a few features added each time and you kind of keep up on it. No, it's a whole new program by then. And dude was telling me that he had to order a second computer on eBay to take parts out of it to put in his other computer so they could keep running the software, because the new hardware doesn't support anything. So he had a new computer he bought so he could use the internet.
Yeah, so he could Millennium Falcon that thing.
Yeah, the tubes of the internet don't work on this machine running 12-year-old software.
Man, dude, I'll bet he's on a dial-up too. It's crazy. Anyway.
Yeah. You have to piece together machines.
So we talked about the things in Illustrator that are new and great, and I am looking forward to that. And there's a few features. I mean, in InDesign, having the thing that the live pre-flighting, but that's the only feature currently that I'm aware of that is worth raising a flag over in new InDesign. And I quite honestly don't feel like that's worth another $1,000.
It's not another... $1,000 is for all of it.
It would be, but if you wanted to buy CS3 today, it's still full price, as far as I'm aware.
Oh, well, I mean, if you didn't have a full version of CS3, you just buy CS4. They're not going to sell you through CS3 still.
No, you it's still out there somewhere. You can get it. Because I looked into that last year. Like, what if I just bought a couple versions back? Like, you can still buy Freehand. And Freehand, like Freehand MX or whatever, you can still, I think... There are places where you can buy that, but you're still paying full retail price for it. Like, quite honestly, they should be selling copies of Freehand for $60, man.
You would think so.
Yeah.
If your computer even supports it. I don't even know if the new operating system will run.
Mine still would, but I'm getting to the tail end of the lifespan of that computer. And that's my thing, is that I'm on a cycle where it's like, we got to upgrade our hardware before we can upgrade this software.
Right. Question for our viewers out there, for all you...
Those our viewers?
Listeners.
Listeners, let's do it.
All my old Freehand files.
Yeah.
Will I be able to open them in one of these new programs, or what am I supposed to do if I want to move computers and don't want to put Freehand on it, but I still need to open Freehand files?
I'm pretty sure the Illustrator will open the Freehand.
Let's hope that the CS4 will open the Freehand.
I would love for somebody listening to the show to answer us that question, but you'll be able to answer it next week. So maybe let's come back to that on the next show. But certainly if you're listening and you know how that shapes up, you go to 36 Point and leave a comment. Let's move on. Get yourself some more Adobe. Or say F the lemons and bail and go with Corel. You know, because there's still people out there that do that. Are you rocking Corel?
Have they even made a new version of Corel in the last 12 years?
That comment. If you're rocking Corel, especially if you work for yourself, you let us know. And you let us know how that's working for you.
Okay.
Apparently, people who know Corel know it well. So there's that. Yes, we have something new to talk about.
So, Pepsi has rebranded Mountain Dew.
Yes. No. Pepsi's rebranded all of Pepsi. Suddenly, we can't speak.
Yeah, but I never look at the Pepsi bottles.
Well, I do occasionally. A lot of people do. Pepsi. It's out there. It's number two.
Now, I guess people know what the logo looks like.
Yes. No, the wavy circle. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And they've changed this.
Yes, and that sucks. Balls, in fact.
Okay.
Balls with smiles on them. That's what it sucks.
See, Nate, I don't think it's this
big of a
deal.
Yeah, that threw you, didn't it? Yeah, so I take a little pause.
See, I don't see it as this. I mean, I realize it's a giant company that's rebranded, but it's kind of like when Walmart rebranded.
Right.
Nobody had like a great love for the old logo.
Right, because it was just the evil empire.
It's well known.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't say Pepsi's evil empire, but I mean, it's a well-known logo, but it's
not Walmart
like,
was, is what I was saying.
But it's not like people have like Pepsi stuff decorating their house like they will like Coca-Cola stuff. You go to people's houses, it'll be like all red with big...
Well, this is as
your
big
entire
as we get,
living
though.
Room is just a giant big Coke logo.
I have no problem calling this out as the UPS or AT&T rebrand of 2008. I mean, no issue whatsoever calling it that, because it's established. It's something people are very familiar with. It's been around for a very, very long time that people have developed a comfort zone with. And then they're like, I'm going to turn it on its side. We're going to make that wave into a smile, and it's going to be hot. And instead, it looks kind of stupid.
No. See, now the UPS one, that was they took a Paul Rand masterpiece.
Right.
And decided to put a big gradation.
Was it really a masterpiece, or did people just like it because Paul Rand did it?
Yeah, but is the Pepsi one either?
Nah,
Paul Rand
true.
Didn't do it, and it's not a masterpiece.
That's true, yeah. Now, the AT&T logo, I always loved that. But
yeah, that was a Saul Bass's masterpiece.
So, all right, so Pepsi redid this, and I got it up. If you guys, like, we're not doing written stories on this, because over at Under Consideration on Brand New, they covered the bejesus out of this. And so you head over to Brand New, and there it is, everywhere. But yeah, so we have the new multiple smiles. Like, Diet Pepsi is not as happy as regular Pepsi, and none of them are as happy as Pepsi Max. We have the respelling.
I may move to Pepsi Max because it makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Much happier.
So extremely happy. Some might say manic. I wonder if there's a downside to Pepsi Max. If the other side is like a wicked huge frown. Anyway. So we have new... And before we move on, it's lowercase all over the place. Another direct tie that I will throw out to you as a connection to the AT&T rebranding. It's lowercase again.
Now that's been followed by Walmart, but
followed by everybody.
Sears lowercase.
I don't know. Sears didn't start it.
No.
The lowercasing of companies began with
what
the
I have
web
learned. Board. Is companies follow other companies.
Right.
And all companies follow Sears.
I'm calling the lowercasing of your brand officially dead. As a trend, I'm calling it dead.
I'm going to call it, you're Searsing up your brand.
If you have gone all Sears on us. No, like, I'm like, okay, it was cool for a while. It's like the Millennium Swoosh. The lowercasing of your brand is the new Millennium Swoosh of graphic design. And it is time to move on. If you're out there, you're designing, you're working on some brands, and you're proposing lowercased, like, all, well, like, we're just going to make it lowercase to make it
friendly. For a while, they were, like, throwing a number in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, all the seven
logos,
style
what,
in it.
Yeah, what substitute numbers for...
And then that got boring.
That's still very big in the games industry and
yeah,
movies.
But that's been swapped out now with lowercasing. So
right.
What's the new trend?
I don't know.
I think it's going to be a lot of asterisks.
A lot of asterisks. I think Walmart's setting that one up. A lot of typographic sphincters could be the new trend. I think you had mentioned a moment ago before we recorded this segment that it would be the alternating caps to lower caps.
Oh, yeah,
caps.
upper, lower.
As long as
that's
you start that with a lowercase and then go to caps, then it's golden. I actually hate that. So let's talk about Mountain Dew, since that's kind of our forte here. Mountain Dew generally changes their look about every 6 weeks.
Okay, now
about
weeks. Now, the Pepsi one makes a lot of sense that they rebranded, because from a business perspective, they're rebranding for the right reason.
Right.
They lost market share. The upcoming audience isn't connecting to it.
Right.
And it's not like they had this great connection to the brand, like, oh, I've got to get a Pepsi. It was just like...
Oh, they have Pepsi instead of Coke? Oh,
right.
Okay.
It's like, oh, I took
I
a
guess
challenge.
I'll get
I like
that.
It better. But yeah, it's not yeah. like... So they're rebranding for the right reason. But Mountain Dew, on the other hand, or MTN Dew...
Minton,
which I
it's like Minton Dew.
I do like the mitten. The
Minton Dew. That's like that would be the Japanese commercial for this.
Yeah.
Minton Dew.
See, I do like that because that works with what they've established, which
right.
is they are extreme.
Yes,
and they are the hip thing.
Well,
and if,
they're
if
not,
you're,
that, but they're not that if, hip anymore.
Well, if you're texting,
right? You that's text. How you would. That is totally how I would text that.
So I think that
Absolutely.
Makes a lot of sense visually. I don't think it looks extreme anymore.
No, they have... Well, they've abandoned extreme, and I think that the reason that they've done that is because, you know, the energy drink boom is still in full effect. And, you know, Mountain Dew used to be your caffeine source, and now there are Red Bulls and other Red Bull-esque things. You got your Starbucks double shots. The
by
energy
the way,
drink
by the way, those
huge.
Double shot cans that Joe Duffy's
Joe Duffy
did
those, yeah.
His They're company hot. Did. Yeah, those are nice.
I don't. Yeah, they might be moving on to a slightly new design now, but who knows? Maybe I'm crazy and I'm seeing a different product.
But these
Minton
Dews.
The Minton Dew!
Kind of bland. Kind
Super
of
bland.
Not extreme.
Can we call it, and may this is Donovan Berry's assessment.
I'm calling it the Phil Collins of soda design.
It is a bit of the adult contemporary. Damn it, I messed it up. The adult contemporary extreme beverage. You notice how the logo no longer sits on an angle. Like, they're just giving up extreme. It's done.
Well,
it's
gone. It used to not be in an angle.
No, it's... No, well, before it was extreme. Now it was extreme, and now it's not. And I'm sad. Very briefly, I want to talk about the mess that is this effing Sierra Mist can.
I love it.
I hate you.
Now, here's the deal.
I hate you for loving it.
As I said, Pepsi didn't have a great logo or brand. Sure. Like, I mean, not like... I mean, it was good, but I mean, it was well known.
All right, I think I see where you're going with this.
Do you even remember what the Sierra Mist can looked like? Like, what it looks like today?
No.
And you probably saw one, like...
Probably yesterday.
Yeah.
But I don't care.
But this one you'll remember.
It is... I like the little tree, like, forest, like, misty background. Sort of photographic
Students,
background.
Listen. You want to make things look hot? Gaussian blur.
This is
proof.
You shut your mouth. Students, don't listen to Donovan Berry. I get it. It's like, oh, it's mist. It's mist. Let's put a blur. 17 pixels. All right. Like, why not do it in like a super, super lightweight typeface? Why not do it so? Because everything else is flat and graphic. It's mist.
No, it's
almost stick it all blur. Mist. God damn that. I hate it. It's just like, hey, what's the very first idea that we could possibly have?
Genius. That's what the first idea is.
No, God. No. To hell with that Sierra Mist can. I hate it. Like, I wouldn't... Like, it could happen. Like, I'd be like, oh, is there something good to drink here? No. Is there Sierra Mist? Well, okay, I guess I'll drink it. Now, I will not.
At least it's memorable.
I will go
thirsty. They have now is... I don't even know.
Hitler was memorable. Done make it good. That's right. I just went there. I just went Hitler on Sierra Mist. I think that means it's time to move on.
I think that means the show's about over.
We've got one last thing here at 36 Point. We want to send a fond farewell. As of last night, the campaigns have officially ended, and the Obama logo will be leaving the graphic design world shortly.
I think they'll revive it.
I expect to see it again in about 4 years. About 3.5 years. But yeah, the Obama logo was good logo, well executed, incredibly well implemented.
And this is one where, you know, yes, designers like, oh, what do you think of the Walmart logo? And sure, you'd be like, I don't know. But you're like, I'll hold out hope that we'll
see
what
how it's implemented, you
know,
right?
Oh, like, I think we did that with the 2012 London thing. And then the more we see of its implementation, the more we then hate it.
I've blocked that from my memory. Let's move on.
Yeah, so this is where, that is the perfect example of one where you say, when people first saw the logo, they're like...
You're like, meh.
It's okay, I can work. Or they love it or they hate it, but they're like, well, I'm going to hold out, though.
Like, as a graphic designer, I can understand if your political ideologies run a Republican... That's, you know, I was actually on Facebook watching the elections like, that dude? Like, all my, like, design friends, like, that guy's Republican?
Or third party, you know, I mean, whatever.
Sure, but you cannot, as a graphic designer, not appreciate the value that the Obama campaign placed on visual branding and graphic design. I mean, it was a very integral part of their campaign. And I think that As much as you can say that the Obama campaign is going to become the new model for modern political campaigns,
that will be part of the model.
That an attention to and a value on great design is going to be included in that. So in 2 and 4 years, you guys listening, you know, look for those political campaigns to be knocking on the door and taking you seriously for the first time forever.
If you think companies follow Sears, politicians follow a winning politician like...
Yeah,
even
holy crap,
so.
Yes. So look for that as, you know, graphic design business in a couple of years is going to be picking up on the political market. Used to be Jim Esch, you know, making the J and the E out of the flag. If you read design annuals two years ago, you saw that in every single one. Jim Esch used to have the crown. Obama came and took it from him.
Now Esch didn't do any change. Now, he ran again this year.
Yeah, and he lost again, as far as I'm aware.
But it was closer this year.
It was a bit closer.
But he basically ran out... He didn't make any change in his identity. I thought there'd be a tweak to it, but it still looked better than any.
He didn't need to change it. So I would expect, quite honestly, because it just made such a powerful brand, I would expect that in 4 years, if Obama's, you know, running again, which I would expect, that they're going to trot out, you know, somewhat updated but very visually consistent identity with this campaign. It's just, I mean, it's just as a graphic design identity, it's unstoppable. So here's to you, Obama logo. You did good. You've deserved some rest. And now you're going to get it because there's really, it's not like you can make a new American flag out of the Obama logo. It's just so weird that for a logo to be as strong as that, to just be like, all right, it's done. Moving on. Like, you're not going to see it. It's going to go away. So thanks to you. Cheers, Obama logo, for showing the world what is possible with good design. I am Nate Voss.
Donovan Beery.
Thanks for listening. We will be back as we plan in 2 weeks. We will try not to take another month off. But let's get out of here. We got the patriotic music going. Let's go. Okay. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you soon. To send questions or comments to The Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery, music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.